What's up, Eagle Country? It is Rivertown Classic Week, and that is going to be the focus of Crunch Time this evening on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3. Crunch Time, a service of Ortho, Cincy Orthopedics, and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. Go online to schedule your next appointment or learn more at orthocincy.com. Remember, that's Ortho, C-I-N-C-Y. com. And speaking of Cincy, how about those Cincinnati Bengals? I have some thoughts on the Bengals winning the AFC North, but I'm going to save that for the end of the show, as I'm only going to spend a couple minutes on that. Want to focus the entirety of this show, or at least most of the show, on the Rivertown Classic, the 22nd annual Rivertown Classic, happening this week at South Dearborn High School, starting up on Wednesday night, running through Saturday. Can you believe there's already been 21 Rivertown Classics that have come and gone, and now we're about to embark on the 22nd as we start off the new year, 2022. I remember the first Rivertown Classic very fondly back in 2001. I was in middle school at the time. I believe I was in eighth grade, as my brother was a senior at Lawrenceburg High School, and I remember there being a lot of buzz about the Rivertown Classic. It was just like the old sectional, and it certainly felt like that, especially back in 2001 when the gyms were a little bit more packed for high school basketball games. Don't want to get into that right now. That's not what this discussion is about, but I remember it being very exciting and a lot of community support for the Rivertown Classic and the four schools that were participating in it. And I will remember it for a long, long time, because my brother's Lawrenceburg Tigers did win that first Rivertown Classic on the boys' side. And I have been to nearly all of the Rivertown Classics, and even played in three as a basketball player at Lawrenceburg High School. I myself didn't get a chance to climb the ladder and cut down the nets, as we ran into some really good teams there at the Rivertown Classic during my high school career. But always a lot of fun being at South Dearborn High School. I really enjoy being there now as a broadcaster, and being able to shed some light on our current crop of student athletes, both on the girls and boys sides of things. And if you are not familiar with the draw for this year's 2022 Rivertown Classic, well, we will recap that for you right now. The girls tournament going to start on Wednesday. South Dearborn, the host school, will play Switzerland County in game one. That'll start at 6 p.m., followed by Lawrenceburg and Rising Sun in game two. You will see and hear the same matchups in the boys tournament on Thursday night. South Dearborn, Switzerland County, game one, Lawrenceburg and Rising Sun in game two. And Mike Perleberg and Chuck Thomas will be on the call the first two nights, Wednesday and Thursday, getting that first round action for you right here on your hometown radio station. Myself and Bill Smith will take over on Friday for the girls' consolation and championship games, and we'll be right back out to South Dearborn High School on Saturday for the boys' consolation and championship rounds. So to start out the show tonight, I want to focus on the girls' tournament. Of course, they're going to tip things off on Wednesday, and we need to start with the Lawrenceburg Tigers, because they are the six-time Rivertown Classic champions, but they have won 5 years in a row, breaking the previous record of four set by South Dearborn between 2001 and 2004. Yes, the Lady Knights got off to a blazing start as this tournament started back in 2001, won the first four. Hasn't been so great for them in recent memory, as the Tigers have dominated this tournament. Last season, they defeated said South Dearborn Knights in the first round 63-24, and then they followed up with a 54-30 win over Switzerland County in the championship game. So neither team came close to beating the Tigers last year, as Kirsten Cross would go on to be the tournament MVP. And Ms. Cross is back for the Lady Tigers this year, seeking to keep that record winning streak alive. And she comes into the tournament averaging 12.5 points, nearly 8 rebounds, an assist and a half a game, 2.2 steals, and nearly 2 blocks per game. So for Cross, she fills up the stat sheet. She is a great scorer, a playmaker, and a really great defender as well, especially on the ball. Her guards, she does have guard skills, but plays more of a forward, as the Tigers do lack some size down low. But Cross, She is very, very talented, and this should tell you all you need to know. She recently committed to Salem University in West Virginia, so her playing days are going to continue after her high school career ends at the end of this season. But the Tigers have a big three, per se. You hear that term a lot in basketball nowadays, and junior Lizzie Reeder is having a fantastic year, well on her way to being an all-EIAC selection, 13 points per game, 6.3 rebounds. Chloe Meyer, a senior, averaging almost 10 points per game, nearly 5 rebounds, close to 3 assists, and close to 3 steals per game. So those are the three, Meyer, Reeder, and Cross. When they play well, the Tigers usually win. They also have some other key contributors, such as Hannah White and Nicole Howes. Freshman Natalie Caniga stepping up in a solid role. Molly Stewart and Melissa McClinton there as well in the rotation for Coach Zane White. Overall, pretty decent shooting team, 39% from the field, 72% from the charity stripe. That'll be big in tournament play. Tigers do struggle a bit from downtown. It's a respectable number, 28%, but they really have two young ladies that can really shoot it from outside. Got to know where Lizzie Reeder and Nicole Howes are at, because Nicole Howes is at 40%, and Reeder, who's shot a lot more threes, 25 for 68 on the year, shooting 37%. That is an excellent shooting percentage from downtown for Lizzie Reeder, especially with the bulk of shots she's taken from downtown. But one key to the Tigers' success as they try to win their sixth straight Rivertown Classic will be taking care of the ball. Uncharacteristic of Coach White's team to have nearly 20 turnovers per game. They are a little below that, but still, it's an alarming number of turnovers for a team that usually takes good care of the ball, at least year in, year out. Lawrenceburg is a pretty good rebounding team, despite not having a lot of size, close to 30 rebounds per game. And here recently, they've played pretty decent, went 2-1 at the Scottsburg tournament, played some good teams, battled from behind to beat Charlestown, who's a really, really good team, knocked off Bloomington South, and then a 13-point loss to Indianapolis Chatard. Since December 1st, the Tigers are 5-3. They've played some really tough competition here as of late, but overall 10-6, and in their 10 wins this season, this is a key. Tigers' opponents have not scored more than 40 points when Lawrenceburg has won the game. So if Lawrenceburg holds you to 40 or less, you are likely going to lose the game. At least that's how it has played out so far for Coach White's team. They're averaging close to 50 points per game, allowing only 38.6. So maybe the best defensive team in this tournament. And they'll have a chance to prove that starting on Wednesday night. Now, they have not played anybody out of the Rivertown Classic in the regular season. They do not have Switzerland County and Rising Sun on their regular season schedule, so they will play Rising Sun in the first round on Wednesday. Perhaps they meet up with Switzerland County in the championship for a third straight year, and they'll eventually play South Dearborn, whether it's in the championship at the Rivertown or on January 22 in the EIAC. But before we move on, I want to talk about the Tigers' upcoming game against Columbus North on Saturday, January 15th. Now, first, I want to say kudos to Lawrenceburg for scheduling Columbus North. They are an excellent team. Got a chance to see them play against East Central earlier this season. So, should be an excellent basketball game. But kudos to these two teams for coming together to fight against breast cancer as well. So, there's going to be some ways that you can join the fight. You can obviously attend the game. There's going to be donations for the cause. And there's also T-shirts that you can buy. And all the funds raised are going to benefit the I Win Foundation. And that is going to keep breast cancer patients in treatment. We know that the T-shirts are available for $15, and for every T-shirt sold, $7 going to support breast cancer patients. And the fundraising goal for the Tigers is $2,000. Now, donations are going to close on the 16th, so that'll be a day after the game. But hopefully as many folks as possible can get out and attend this game on Saturday, January 15th at Lawrenceburg High School. The JV contest will be at noon. Varsity plays at 1:30. And again, what these two teams are doing off the court is going to be super, super impactful, and really cool to see these two schools come together for a great cause. And should be some fantastic basketball being played on that Saturday afternoon as well. We do have more information about that game and the cause at EagleCountryOnline.com. So let's move on and talk about the Tigers' next opponent, though, and that will be the Rising Sun Lady Shiners. First round action at the Rivertown Classic coming up on Wednesday. It'll be about a 7:30 tip-off as they'll play game two. But Rising Sun, 5-9 on the season. The telling stat here at the Rivertown Classic is that they have never won this tournament. They last played in the championship game back in 2015. Overall, Lady Shiners have made 4 championship appearances in the 21-year history of the tournament, so it hasn't been super kind to Rising Sun. And here recently, they've lost 6 straight Rivertown Classic games. Their last win back in 2018 in the consolation game, which was a 52-45 win over Switzerland County. You might remember Lucy Kerrigan playing back then, a fantastic ball player who set some records at the Rivertown Classic as well. But coming into the tournament this season, 5-9, it's been a pretty rough stretch here as of late for Rising Sun. They started the season 3-1, and you're starting to think about this team and saying, oh man, I think they got a group of girls that's going to do something really special this season. And they still can, but here as of late, they've lost 8 of their last 10 games. They did split 2 games at the Speedway Tournament, which was the exact same format that they will be playing under at the Rivertown Classic. Nice win over Terre Haute South, 42-25. Good defensive effort there. Then they lost 13 points to a good Speedway team in the championship game. Now, Lawrenceburg will pose a significant challenge for Rising Sun, as the Tigers are a very good defensive team. They can create a bunch of turnovers. Rising Sun, in particular, a young team. They don't have any seniors on the roster. So while that's not necessarily a good thing in the interim, because they're still developing leaders on this team, it's a good problem to have, because that means that they got a bunch of young ladies that'll be back next year and the year after. So they're building something very, very good, very nice out there in Rising Sun. I think they're going to have a team that can really be competitive over the next couple of years. But anyways, long story short, inexperience does show at times with this Rising Sun team, as they're averaging 20 turnovers per game. But at the same time, they got some young ladies that can flat out score the ball, including junior Bailey Morris, 11.4 points per game. You got sophomore Alyssa Simpson, close to 10 points per game. Jenna Peelman, Kieran Groover, they combine to average close to 15 points per game. And then Nora Powell kind of rounds out their starting five, their top five players, with about 5 points per game. But outside of those 5, Shiners don't have much depth, and that's where the losses are starting to pile up, because they lack a little scoring punch off the bench. So when some of these young ladies like Simpson and Morris go to the bench to get a breather, sometimes they can go through stretches of games where they don't know where their next bucket is coming from. Now, Sienna Keene, Ellie Ullman-Seek, Miranda Lozier, and Hannah Kramer have appeared in 5 or more games. They've only combined to score 4 points this year. Lozier has particularly been good, providing solid rebounding off the bench. But again, these 4 ladies haven't got a ton of minutes. They're just kind of in there to give a breather to the starting 5, serving as screeners, passers, rebounders, etc., which is still helping the team. So they're playing their role and doing their part. But again, sometimes the scoring punch is just not there for this team. But they do rebound pretty well, 34 per game. They're averaging 40 points per game. Defensively, not too shabby at 45 allowed. So this is a team that is continuing to take strides, make strides. And again, they don't have any seniors, but they have some talent on this team, and I think they are building towards something over the next couple of years, where they are going to be a team nobody is going to want to see on their schedule, particularly for a small school. But 1-1 against Rivertown teams this year, 46-35 loss to Switzerland County back on November 19th. They did beat South Dearborn earlier this season, 49-36. That game was played on November 30th. So look at Lawrenceburg and Rising Sun as they will match up in the first round of the Rivertown Classic. You are listening to Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi, Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. We take a look at the 2 teams that will participate in the opening contest of the RTC on Wednesday, that being South Dearborn and Switzerland County. The Lady Knights, 4-12 on the season, and they have largely owned the Rivertown Classic over its entirety, winning 8 of the first 13 tournaments. But in recent memory, they haven't been in the championship picture much. Since their last RTC championship in 2013, the Lady Knights have only appeared in 1 championship game. The last 2 years, they've gone 2-2, defeating defending Rising Sun in the consolation game 2 years running. But Coach Daryl Gibbs hoping this is the year to get his Lady Knights past Switzerland County and back into the championship game. It will be a tall task, but the Knights still in a rebuilding process, which has been going really well as of late. They might be 4-12 overall, but they have won 3 of 4 coming into the Rivertown Classic, including a third-place finish at the Edinburgh Tournament. So this is the best stretch of games that this Lady Knights team has played over the last couple of seasons under Coach Gibbs. And I tell you what, they got some young ladies that are really playing some good basketball. Natalie Rupp has really come on strong during her junior season, averaging 10 points per game. Emily Elliott, Kirsten Dixon, adding some scoring punch at 9 and 8 points per game, respectively. You got Bernadette Wisman, Jillian Bond, Quinn Heiser, among others that are key contributors for this team as they just continue to get better each and every week. Each and every game, and the record at the end of the season might not state that they got much better from last season. They've already won one more game than they did last year as they went 3-20 a season ago, but you can see it in these young ladies. Their confidence is continuing to grow. They're playing more competitive games and winning some games as well, so maybe they can come out and surprise some folks at the Rivertown Classic with that home court advantage. They're 0-2 against RTC teams this year. Lost 46-24 to Switz, first game of the season on November 9th, and then a 49-36 loss to Rising Sun on November 30th. Going to look to avenge that loss to Switzerland County to open the season on Wednesday night. It will be a tough task as the Lady Pacers come into that game 11-3 on the season, and they are looking to return to glory at the RTC under first-year head coach and former Lady Pacers star Brooke Todd. Once upon a time, she helped Switzerland County to 3 consecutive titles. From 2013 to 2015 was tournament MVP 2 of those seasons. Now, Todd leading the Lady Pacers from the sideline. Her coaching career has gotten off to a great start, obviously, with that 11-3 record. And in tournament play, you often hear the term that you need good guard play to win, and they certainly have that with Maddie and Jesse Duvall among the top 2 scorers in the ORVC. Both are really good shooters. They pass the ball well. And can score at all 3 levels as well. Outside of the Duvalls, the Pacers getting key contributions from forwards Nora Hankins and Hannah Hayes. Courtney Higgins, Mackenzie Taylor have played well this season as well for the Lady Pacers. And as mentioned, they did defeat South Dearborn earlier this season by 22 points. They also have an 11-point victory over Rising Sun. And if Switzerland County can get back to the championship game, perhaps they meet up with Lawrenceburg. They have met in the title game the past 2 seasons. Mentioned earlier, Lawrenceburg did dominate last year with a 24-point win over Switzerland County. The game previous to that, a year prior to that, 2 seasons ago, Tigers only won by 8 points. But with those 2 teams in particular not having a regular season matchup, a potential championship game between those 2 could offer another really nice test as the girls' basketball teams in the area are inching closer and closer to sectional play. So, again, that could be a really nice test for both Lawrenceburg and Switzerland County. But perhaps this girls' RTC is more open than in seasons past, as Rising Sun and South Dearborn, in my opinion, are much improved and would definitely like to play spoiler at this tournament. But regardless how it plays out, I believe there's a chance we're going to get some really, really good games on the girls' side of things at the RTC. It'll open up on Wednesday, the consolation and championship round for the girls on Friday, and we will have all 4 of those games for you on your hometown radio station. Now let's take a look at the boys' tournament and the same matchups in the first round. South Dearborn, Switzerland County, Rising Sun, and Lawrenceburg. We'll start with that South Dearborn, Switzerland County game that will be played on Thursday at 6 p.m. Now, South Dearborn, they have 8 Rivertown Classic titles. That is tied for the most, and they are the defending champions coming into this tournament. Switzerland County, 4 RTC titles. Their last was in 2014, but South Dearborn entering the tournament on a high, 7-2 on the season, coming off winning the Morristown tournament. They blew out New Washington, blew out Morristown, and then took on one of the top teams in 2A and number 13 Covenant Christian in the championship game. And Covenant Christian has kind of had a stranglehold on this Morristown tournament over the past several years. and looked like they were going to win it again, up 15 points late. South Dearborn comes storming back, puts it into overtime, wins 52-51, behind 18 points from Eli Hoffman, who came up big late in that game for the Knights. So 7-2, off to a fantastic start this season. Their only losses are to Madison and Connersville. Of course, Connersville, one of the top-ranked teams in 3A. But this South Dearborn team really hangs their hat on the defensive end. I feel like I talk about this a lot, but it's kind of the identity that they have now under second-year head coach Matthew Colston, and they're only allowing around 42 points per game. So it is tough to beat South Dearborn when they are clicking defensively, and they have good on-ball pressure defenders. They play good help defense as well. And then offensively, they got three guys that are averaging over or near double figures. Eli Hoffman, 16 points per game. He is nearing the 1,000 career point mark. Reese Willoughby, close to 14 points per game. And Ryan Willoughby has really gotten a little bit better on the offensive end from last year to this year, averaging 9 points per game. Brody Tiki, he can score it. He can really shoot it from the outside. Drew Probst, Adam Kunkel, a fantastic athletes that help with that really solid defense, and they recently got Corbin McHenry back into the rotation as well, and he's averaging about 6 points per game. Those are the top role players for Coach Colston's Knights. As I mentioned, good defense, and they take care of the ball. They're very patient on offense, 12 turnovers per game. That's pretty good in this day and age, specifically at the high school level. Shoot 49% from the field. That's getting it done. 74% free throw shooting team. Not too bad. Maybe their Achilles heel is the 26% three-point shooting. So you might see some teams start to zone them a little bit, try to force them to chuck it from the cheap seats, as Shooter would say in Hoosiers. But against Rivertown Classic teams, South Dearborn 1-0, defeating Rising Sun by 18 points back in that season opening win on November 23rd. So they'll get their crack at Switzerland County on Thursday, which is a much improved team this year, 4-5 under Travis Reitzman, his second year at Switzerland County. Of course, we know he did great things at South Ripley for about a 10-year span, and hoping to have some similar success in VV. And it might be the understatement of the year to say they're improved. They went 3-21 last year, off to a 4-5 start this season. I think freshman Cam Craig's presence has changed a lot about this team, the perspective of this team and how they play. He is averaging around 21 points per game, and this offense is pretty good. I mean, they can get up and down and score a lot of points, close to 60 points per game. Defensively is where they are struggling, though. 65 points per game allowed. Their recent string of games did not help that average, as they gave up 81, 71, and 96 to Indianapolis Tech, Madison, and Silver Creek, three really good teams at the Jefferson County Invite. But when you got guys on the team like Bryce Reitzman and Bryce Turner, who have played a lot of varsity basketball, they can score. You add in Ben Hicks and Jacob Williams with Cam Craig, they have five players that can score the ball really well. It makes them difficult to defend. So this is going to be a fascinating matchup in the first round, with South Dearborn being more of a team that lends their way to the defensive end, where Switzerland County wants to outscore you. Switz does a good job taking care of the ball. They're averaging around 12 turnovers per game. Shoot pretty good from the field, 44% overall, 34 from downtown, and 64 from the free throw line. So statistically, these teams match up, but it is contrasting styles in a way. So it should be a fantastic game, and a very intriguing game to start off the boys' tournament on Thursday. I think Switzerland County is going to have to match South Dearborn's intensity, though, and take care of the ball, because Ryan Willoughby and some of these other Knight defenders, they will absolutely get after you, and that's something teams have to deal with when they play South Dearborn. But Switzerland County 1-1 against RTC teams. They lost to Lawrenceburg by 9 points and a 4-point win over Rising Sun. Speaking of Lawrenceburg, 8-2 on the season. They went 2-2 at the Richmond tournament last week. Wins over Central Christian and Purdue Poly Englewood. Their losses to two very good teams. Fort Wayne Northrop has a young man that's going to go on to play at University of Illinois Chicago, D1 school. And then they actually held a lead going into the fourth quarter against 3A's number 5 team, Northwood, ended up losing by 8 points, but a pretty good showing for the Tigers at the Richmond tournament. Now, at the Rivertown Classic, the Tigers have largely dominated this in recent memory. They've won 5 of the last 7 titles, did fall to South Dearborn in the first round a season ago, 51-44. They actually played 3 games last year. They were all very exciting. South Dearborn ended up going 2-1 in those 2 games. And wouldn't it be something if these two teams could meet on Saturday night in the championship game? I think the same could be said for Rising Sun and Switzerland County. Those are the two big rivalries between these 4 schools. So anytime they play with a championship and a trophy on the line, it just makes things a little bit bigger. But Jackson Bobo having a great senior season. Logan Rohrer, Garrett Yoon, Daya Patel have been really good this year. Jackson Bobo's younger brother, freshman Cooper, very efficient player, great shooter. You got Andrew Myers, Brennan Bushman, Sam Cornett, and Ashton Craig providing some depth off the bench. The Tigers, another team that takes care of the ball, under 10 turnovers per game, very efficient offensively, shooting 47% from the field. Excellent three-point shooting team at 42%. They're 70 of 167 from the three-point line. Free throws, 66%. Coach Cutter would like to see that number go up above 70, I am sure. But 5 players shooting over 42% from 3. Can't fall in love with it, but the Tigers do shoot about 15 threes per game. But again, they're hitting, you know, 6 or 7 of those 3-point attempts most games, and they're really tough to beat when they play inside out. When Craig and Bobo can establish themselves on the block and then draw some double teams and open up some shooters outside, that makes Lawrenceburg very, very tough to defend. They'll take on a Rising Sun team that only has 1 Rivertown Classic championship in 21 years. That was back in 2019, thanks in part to a fantastic performance by tourney MVP Noah Flume. The 2 games he played there were absolutely phenomenal. Only 3 other title appearances in the 21-year history of this tournament, but they're 3-4. They went 1-1 at the North Decatur tournament last week. Close game against North Decatur in round 1. Not an easy team to play, especially when they're at home. Bounce back for a 21-point victory over Centerville, a team that's been beat up by a lot of teams here this season. But nonetheless, winners of 3 of their last 4 after starting the season 0-3. The junior class for this team, for Rising Sun and Coach Snodgrass, Brady Works, Dylan Martin, Peyton Merica, when these 3 individuals are playing well, that's when Rising Sun are at their best. Damon Kerrigan has been playing well as well. Those 4 individuals averaging between 8 and 12 points per game, respectively. Then you got Kendall Montgomery, Dylan McKinley, Nate Elliott, Gavin Shorten. Those are guys you're going to see off the bench for Coach Snodgrass. But turnovers continuing to be an issue for this team, near 20 per game. They play a little different style under Coach Snodgrass in his second year as compared to Rick Scholl, who was there prior to Coach Snodgrass. A little bit more up-tempo, playing a little bit faster, and sometimes I think that is causing some of the turnovers for this team, but a pretty good rebounding team. They got 5 guys that are averaging between 5 and 6 rebounds per game, so they do a good job on the boards, and that will be a big key against Lawrenceburg on Thursday. But we are very much looking forward to the Rivertown Classic. Always fun. We're going to cover all 8 games Wednesday through Saturday. Again, Chuck and Mike will be on the call on Wednesday and Thursday for first round action. Myself and Bill Smith will bring you the consolation and championship rounds on Friday and Saturday from South Dearborn High School. Now that we've gotten through the Rivertown Classic preview, I do want to get to Double T's takes. I have a few to end the show, or just a couple to end the show, and they will be fairly brief. First, I want to start out with the Cincinnati Bengals, who run the AFC North. Those T-shirts were pretty sweet that they were wearing yesterday after clinching the AFC North, defeating Kansas City 34-31 in comeback fashion. They were down 14 points a couple different times in this game and found a way to beat perhaps the best team in the NFL to clinch a playoff berth for the first time since 2015. So this team firing on all cylinders. Joe Burrow, the real deal. I knew that he was going to create some magic for this team when they drafted him. I didn't know it would come this quick. We'll see if they do anything with the playoff opportunity, but I don't think this team's going anywhere anytime soon. I think you can just go ahead and chalk them up as a perennial playoff contender as long as Joe Burrow is in orange and black. And I got to say, I'm really happy for Zach Taylor. A lot of folks wanted him gone after his first 2 seasons. His first year, he had a terrible roster. His second year, Joe Burrow gets hurt after 8 games. What do you expect? His record was terrible. They stick with him. He and the front office have done a good job of turning over this roster, getting the right players in place, changing the culture. And while you might question is play calling sometimes. There's no question Zach Taylor is the right man for this job for the Cincinnati Bengals, and he and Joe Burrow are leading them down a path that we haven't seen in a long, long time. And finally, we've got to talk about the other Cincinnati football team, the UC Bearcats, competing in their very first college football playoff on New Year's Eve in the Cotton Bowl, taking on number one Alabama. And despite the final scoreline, I think UC actually competed pretty well with the top team in the nation and the defending national champs. They didn't score very well at all. A little conservative on the play calling, if you ask me. They didn't let Desmond Ridder do his thing back there, at least not early enough in the game. But overall, I thought UC showed that they have players that can go out there and play with Alabama despite that final scoreline. Again, that's the big key here. They certainly look better than Michigan did against Georgia, but we're going to have an all-SEC final as Georgia will take on Alabama in the national championship game on the 10th, so a week from today. Great season for the UC Bearcats, and while their season has come to an end, the Bengals' season really just beginning, because they are going to be heading off to the playoffs. One more regular season game to go against the Browns on Sunday. Bengals still do mathematically have a chance at the number one seed in the AFC, but the matchups that Tennessee and Kansas City have this week, not looking likely that the Bengals will have a legitimate chance at that on Sunday. But the Bengals are going to the playoffs for the first time since 2015, and I do believe that anything is possible with number 9 at quarterback. So that's how we'll round out the show tonight. Appreciate you tuning in for another edition of Crunch Time. Thanks so much to our presenting sponsor, OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. Dr. Ron Auer, Brian Whistle, Roman Trimba, they're right here in Lawrenceburg, so it's easy to find the orthopedic specialist you need, OrthoSensi.com. We'll do this again next Monday, 6 to 6:30, and we hope that show will feature one, if not two, of the Rivertown Classic champs that will be crowned this week in Eagle Country.